This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The pitch. Donovan hits it deep. Right field. It's a gunner! Donovan hits it over the right field wall. And the Cardinals take the lead with nobody out in the fifth inning.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
How about these birds, man? They beat the Orioles last night, so they've won a series against them. They've now won 8 of their last 10 series.
And they've only dropped 1 of 10. Because the other was a tie.
That's right.
2-2.
That's exactly right. So 8 of 10 they have won. They're on a roll. They're still 3 games back of first place, but they are playing good baseball, and they are keeping pace right now. We go to the guest line today. Host of Sports Open Line, the Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock every weekday when a Cardinals game does not get in the way. So, for example, you'll hear it today. And pre- and post-game coverage. Matt Pauly is with us on KMOX. Also want to get your thoughts on City relieving Olaf Melberg of his duties as head coach. We'll get to that in a moment. But the team, again, Baltimore is not very good, but you're supposed to win 2 of 3. You're supposed to win series against bad teams, and they did it again.
Yeah, and you mentioned where they're at in their divisional standings. If the season ended right now, they're in the playoffs. They're in a virtual tie with the Padres for the second wild card right now in the National League. So it's a little early to be talking about that, but it goes to show you just the type of baseball they're playing right now and how good they've been. And they lose that first game against Baltimore, and they still – yeah, I love kind of the things that have happened here, because when you're at home, you're supposed to, you know, win more than you lose. And – last week they lose 2 of 3 to Detroit, so at that point you kind of change the expectations and you say, well, you know, if they can have a 500 homestand, that's going to be okay. Well, they beat the Diamondbacks in all three, so they end up having a winning homestand. And then they lose the first game against Baltimore, and they find a way to win the final two games, and they take that series, and you should take a series against Baltimore. They have trailed in each of the last 5 games that they have ended up winning, not just their last 5 mm-hmm. games, but they have trailed in their last 5 wins. The term that is used so much about this team offensively is relentless. I think they are that. I also think that when there are nights where one part of the team is not performing well, other parts pick them up. Yesterday, Miles Michaelis was not especially good through his 4 innings, and then all of a sudden the bullpen comes in. And yeah, we saw Ryan Helsley there at the end, but that was not your standard, this is how you get the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning covered of a game that you're winning for the Cardinals. Instead, it was Kyle Leahy coming in the 5th inning. And speaking of Helsley, how about Helsley pitching back-to-back for the second time in the last week? You got John King was ridiculous last night. He gets those 2 huge strikeouts. So it was the bullpen that really picked up Michaelis yesterday. This team is fun, and that's something that everybody is saying, and it's true, and last night was another example of it. Last night was a really fun, compelling ball game to be able to watch.
And when you start getting production out of 7, 8, 9 in the batting order, and Jordan Walker starting to come alive a little bit, that makes so much difference to this team. The front end of that order is, I would argue, one of the best in baseball right now.
Yeah, they had 12 hits last night, and 9 of them came from the top 3 spots. Nootbaar had 2, Wynn had 4, Donovan had 3 hits. All 3 of those guys are really productive right now. But to your point, I think this lineup right now very much is 6 deep when you go 9 through 5 with Scott, Nootbaar, Wynn, Donovan, Contreras, Herrera. So then the 6, 7, 8 hitters are Arenado, Walker, and Pajes. Arenado, certainly, you'd like to see generally speaking, more offense from him, but he's still coming up with some big hits. Walker has been on a really solid tear here recently. They've made some adjustments with him, and it seems like it's paying off, and I think Cardinals fans can be very hopeful that maybe this is the start of something that's real. And when Burleson is in there, he's been really good here recently. You're not getting a whole lot offensively from your catcher in Pajes, but that's fine. That's okay. So you can easily say that this lineup is six deep, and when you talk about what you're seeing from Arenado coming up with the big hits occasionally, and then the Walker Burleson thing working lately, in many ways it's eight deep right now.
So all-star voting should begin here, what, in the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Yeah, so pretty soon
they
here.
They don't do the thing anymore where they pass them out at the ballpark and punch the little holes. And I loved like going to games with my dad when I was growing up. Man, I loved that so much.
I did too.
I would do that again. Yeah. That was the best.
The little hole punt. It's like looked like a ballot, like a real ballot. Yeah, it is a ballot, like, but it looked like a real election ballot.
It's those hanging chads in Florida that really get you.
Oh,
in.
Man,
yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
And the lawsuits that come from it. So, All right. With that being said, who are the Cardinals All-Stars this year?
I think Brendan Donovan is. That's the first name that jumps out at me. I guess the question with Ivan Herrera is, does he have enough plate appearances, because he missed so much of the season? I mean, his numbers, especially from like an OPS slugging percentage standpoint, he's there with the elite of the elite right now in Major League Baseball. I talk about Mason Winn, but that shortstop position in the National League, it is just so loaded, so he probably has to do a little bit more. Those are the names that jump in. You know, Helsley, maybe, from a pitching standpoint. There's other, you don't see, like, the middle relievers get chosen very often. Like, you know, Kyle Leahy's having a fantastic, fantastic season, but I think it's a stretch to say that he's going to get chosen for the All-Star team. Am I missing, like, those names that I say, do you think I'm missing anybody on that?
I mean, I don't know who else it would be. Starters get chosen, right? And I don't know how many... I don't know that they've got any starters that would get picked.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, like they're chosen, not voted on, is what I mean.
Right. Remember
I guess
the year?
There's a chance that Matthew Liberatore
maybe
could get in there.
Yeah.
But he would. I still think he has to do more. I think he's incomplete right now in terms of an All-Star resume.
Remember the year that Pat Neshek, the Cardinal reliever, made
Pat
the All-Star
Neshek
team? I think you could make a case for Leahy. You could make a case for Maton. Honestly.
Yeah. I just, starters and closers get selected for All-Star games. Setup men don't. Long relievers don't. So that's why, I don't know. Helsley could potentially get chosen. There's a lot of really good closers. I mean, he's not even really, he got his 12th save last night. That puts him actually pretty far down the list on saves, So, yeah, I think those names that I mentioned, Donovan is the one guy who I think is a clear all-star, and then you've got to kind of make the argument for everybody else that we've mentioned.
So earlier we were talking about the division. They're three games out right now, but they would be a wild card team if the season came to an end. They're still more likely getting to the playoffs if they win the division over being a wild card, right? I mean, that's their likeliest path.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's some teams that are underperforming right now in the National League that are really good teams. Like, do we really think the Atlanta Braves are a three-game under 500 team? And, like, this is sticking around for a while, too. That's the crazy thing with the Braves, because they got back to 500, and then all of a sudden they lost games to the Nationals, and they lost a series to the Padres, and they lost the first game against the Phillies. They're having a really hard time picking themselves back up off the mat. But, I mean, they're good. Acuna's back. That's a really good team. So that's the first team that I identify. Like, I believe in the Mets. I believe in the Padres. The Braves are the first team that I look at as saying, okay, they're a lot better than what their record is. I would put the Arizona Diamondbacks into that bucket as well, even with the Cardinals just taking care of business against them. Diamondbacks are in a really rough spot right now. They just lost 2-3, excuse me, to the Pirates, and they let the Pirates score 10 runs yesterday. I think it was the Eisenhower administration last time the Pirates scored 10 runs. So it's just been, I don't know what's going on with the Diamondbacks, but they're a lot better than their record would indicate as well.
Either one of you boys concerned that Cincinnati might catch fire? I am.
A little.
Yes.
Just a little. My thing with the Reds, Matt, I'd like to hear what you have to say, is I'm always concerned about teams. They have scored more runs, quite a bit more runs than they have given up. So their record should be better. And that's sort of what, when I look at them, I think, you know, that this could be the thing where they eventually the wins start to come to them because they are scoring more than they're giving up. But maybe not.
Their lineup stinks. Like, that's the first thing. Their lineup stinks. It's Ellie De La Cruz and then a bunch of other dudes. So, honestly, if people aren't paying attention to the Brewers, they're back above 500 now at 29 and 28. And they got two dudes coming back into the rotation in Jose Quintana and Brandon Woodruff. I felt bad. So the Cardinals high A team Peoria was matched up against the Brewers high A team Wisconsin. And the last 2 days they had to face Quintana and Woodruff there in Appleton, Wisconsin. Or maybe they're playing in Peoria. Either way, that was who they matched up against the last 2 days there. So that's a tough matchup when you're talking about single-A guys. But the Brewers are on a run right now. They've done it without Quintana and Woodruff, and those two guys are just about back. So I would be more concerned right now about the Brewers than the Reds.
Writing them off, they're dead. Brewers are dead. Forget it. I don't care they're back above 500. It's over. This is the year. This is the year I'm declaring them dead.
You're speaking that into the universe?
Yep, they're dead.
Okay.
Over. Every year I go, yeah, this is not good for them. They're going to be crap. And then they're not. This is the year I mean it. Dead.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry about that.
I feel that way too. And I worked there. I had a front row seat to what they do, and I still sit here and go, they're not good.
Don't worry about the Brewers. They're nothing. Pay attention to the Reds and the Cubs. That's all you have to worry about. So even if the Brewers take the lead, that's not really happening. Hey, so we did this week finally get that news about Olaf Melberg. We sort of suspected that City SC was going to make a change. They are going to have a press conference today at 12 o'clock, which we will carry live. So as you look at them and what happens next, how do you feel about City SC, Matt?
I mean, it's not great. Yeah, it's the Bradley Carnell led them to a place that no expansion team had ever led them to. Now I understand why they made the move with him. They made the move. They bring in a guy internally who gets something out of the young guys that they brought in at the transfer window last year, and they start scoring goals and playing better, and then they pass him by to go with somebody who's it was obviously going to be a little bit of a learning curve with where he was coming from. It just did not work out whatsoever. I don't know. It's just they're going through a lot of coaches, and it doesn't. It seems like every single time they make a coaching change, they take they're not taking a step forward. So I want the best for them. I think as an expansion franchise, they're kind of learning on the go. But it's the and I know coaching changes happen in MLS. I may not be Mr. Soccer, but I understand that part of the league. But this is a lot of coaches in a very, very short amount of time. And since season number one, there just has been very few wins for this team.
We need an American. Either a North American or a South American to take control of this team. I think that's where the future lies, guys. What do you think about that, Paulie?
I don't know, man. The
Lutz
better players
doesn't
are
really
somewhere
go.
Lutz,
you know, has a European background himself,
exactly.
So I don't know. I don't know
about
like
that.
A Pope thing that you know you got How the about, American Pope. Now
no.
You want the American?
There you go.
St. Louis
I'm
soccer
not.
Coach?
I'm not saying it has to be North American. I just think, in fact, if you look at the successful franchises in the MLS historically, they've got a South American heavy South American influence in their organizations.
Probably Brazil probably represents
exactly.
a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, look, let's be honest. We're not producing the best players in the world here. In the United States.
Also, this league is not the best players in the world.
It's the UFL of soccer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, I'm just saying.
Who are you insulting there? It's one of them. Maybe both.
Let's get the black nice. Moods to play halftime at all of the City games.
There you go.
I don't know who the black moods are. Should I know?
I have no clue who they are.
Okay.
No clue.
Okay.
I got Brian Stull, who's the great PR director for the Battlehawks, sent an email out this morning going, the Black Moons are going to be the halftime performer. I'm like, who? And then I texted Pajeski. I'm like, should I know who this band is? Is this me showing my age?
Well, the lead singer is from Wheaton, Missouri.
Where is that?
And it's out there. And
I know Wheaton, Illinois. Yeah, I do not know too. Wheaton, Missouri.
Yeah, I think it might be in Hickory County, but I could be wrong.
But it sounds like they got together in Tempe, Arizona.
Yes.
Okay.
At Arizona State, maybe?
I don't know. It just says Tempe, Arizona.
Okay.
According to this, Wheaton, Missouri. Do you really not have any idea where
it
is?
I think it's in Hickory County.
It is southwest.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the most southwestern county, but it's right next to it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Hickory County.
Okay. Awesome.
Find so what,
nope,
just,
you're a liar.
Like,
what, it's Barry.
So Barry County.
Is it Barry County?
Okay. So yeah. Is it like next to Oklahoma? Like what state is it? Is it butt up against
Arkansas?
Yeah, Barry County is close to Arkansas. Okay. Monette is the county seat of Barry County.
Yeah. Matt Pauly, Redbird Rush Hour at 5?
Yes.
Sports Open Line at 6?
Yeah, so I'll try to give myself a geography lesson.
Have a nice time.
Thank you.
Yo, Pauly, you're sitting with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Follow Matt Pauly on Twitter, Matt Pauly on air. That's how you get to him. I mentioned Fred Bird being good looking earlier. Apparently so. Apparently he is, and we have evidence that Fred Bird is sexy. Not joking. John Hancock, Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I love Fred Bird. I do think Fred Bird's a bit of a cheater because, when I was a kid, I took a photo with him.
Yeah.
He came to Granite City.
Wow.
And I took a photo with him, and he bit my head.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It was much later in life that I realized he did it to everybody.
Oh.
I thought he just thought I was special.
Oh.
Turns out I'm not.
Yeah, he's a head biter.
He is a head biter. And I know this, that there's some evidence that suggests he is one of the sexiest mascots in baseball.
You wouldn't.
Now he's not number one.
Okay.
He's not even in the top 10. He's just outside the top 10.
Oh, okay. All right.
He came in number 11. BetUS has done they've done this analysis of the best looking people in Major League Baseball, broadcasters, managers, mascots, umpires.
Mm.
So all these people who are good looking in baseball, according to them. And they have rated it on, this is what they say, that being attractive isn't about looks, that. It's about personality, confidence, and presence.
Exactly.
Right? So the key factors are personality traits, the golden ratio, which measures facial proportions and symmetry, job title, search volume, so how many times people look you up on Google, and
that's
social following.
That's an actual metric.
So Fred Bird has come in number 11 of all the mascots, right behind Oriole Bird.
Yeah.
The mascot they just faced.
Yeah.
The number one most attractive mascot is Baxter with the Diamondbacks.
Never seen him.
It's like a cat.
Oh, never seen him.
The Philly Fanatic is number two.
Well, of course. I mean, that's a classic. You know, I'm surprised Fred Bird was that high, given the fact that he looks like Joe Biden.
Fred Bird, does he?
Oh, his mouth is always open.
Oh, okay. Well, they're all the mascots' mouths are always
open. Well, that's an excellent point.
Clark the Cub came in number three. The Clark is
tell you what he looks like.
Well, he's a cub.
Yeah.
All right. And he doesn't wear pants.
Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Met have come in fifth and sixth.
Come on.
Yep.
It's a baseball head.
Billy the Marlin, Raymond with the Rays. I don't know who Paws is.
Pause? No idea.
Then it's Oriole Bird and Fred. At least Fred Bird came in front of Mariner Moose, Bernie with Milwaukee.
Oh yeah, that thing's horrible.
It's a really bad
one.
It's
terrible.
Yeah, I don't like that one at all. This is a really interesting list. Baxter actually came in the most attractive of everybody.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
Like, more so than any broadcaster. Brian Kenny from MLB Network came in sixth. So the top four most attractive, according to BetUS, is Baxter, Philly Fanatic, Clark the Cub, and Rosie Red, all mascots.
Yeah.
And then Audra Martin and Brian Kenny.
Who's Audra Martin?
I'm not sure who she's with. Is she with Pittsburgh? I can't remember. Randy Johnson is on this list. He's number nine.
Randy Johnson?
Yes. Randy Johnson. Hey, Brad Thompson made the list, number 24.
Wow.
Right in front of Todd Zeal, who is number 25.
Todd Zeal's got to be 60 years old.
I don't know how old he is. This one is interesting to me. Roger Lodge. Does anybody know who Roger Lodge is? He works
Singer
with the Angels.
Singer for the Moody Blues.
No. Roger Lodge was the host of a show called Blind Date that was on in like the early aughts. Great show. It's a reality show. I loved it. Benji Molina's number 44.
Hey.
I love this. This is a great list. Let's see. Matt Pauly's not on it. I don't see Ricky Horton on here. I don't see John. CB Buckner is number 79.
Oh,
he's
come
terrible.
On. Come on.
I mean, I guess he's kind of good looking, but he's,
not a good umpire.
No, he's a horrible umpire. That's John Hancock.
Yep.
I'm Chris Ronji. John's not on the list. I'm not on the list. I should be, though.
I'm not on anybody's list.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Major Garrett. We had the federal court ruling on tariffs. We will talk to Major about that and more. Chief Washington correspondent for CBS News joins us next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hoping to hook up with the Chief Washington correspondent for CBS News here in a matter of minutes.
He might be out corresponding at the moment.
He's the host of The Takeout on CBS News 24/7. First episode is already out now. That show was really good. We were going over the list of best looking people or the most attractive people
in baseball.
In baseball, according to BetUS. And it's not players. This is mascots, broadcasters, umpires, managers, everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I have glossed over an important one.
Oh, do tell.
And I'm sorry that I've done this. Our own Tom Ackerman
is on the list.
Is number 97.
Number 97.
He is on the list. He is in front of, let's see, 97, Tom. He's in front of, I'm trying to think of somebody you would know. Oh, Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan, yeah.
Who's at 103. Mm. Bob Brenly. Jeff Brantley. He beat Jeff. He's in front of Jeff Brantley at 109.
Wow. Former Cincinnati Red player.
And he came in front of Fred Bird.
There you go. Well, I do think Tom's better looking than Fred Bird.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. He's much nicer, I think.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't bite your head.
Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
He came in front of him. Greg Amsinger, St. Louis's own.
Yes.
Greg Amsinger
is
128.
I like Greg Amsinger.
Really great, enthusiastic.
Yeah.
He is the perfect host for that show.
He is.
He has enthusiasm for the sport of baseball, unlike many people.
Yeah,
I love that. Alexa Datt did make the list. Tom Ackerman beat Alexa Datt. She's at 144. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I think this thing is not very good.
What are you talking about?
Where do they have Lauren Shahadi?
Lauren Shahadi. Yeah. Oh yeah, you like Lauren Shahadi. She came in at 60. So she's in front of she's in front of Tom.
That's still way too low.
You're a big fan of hers, aren't you?
She's good. She's a good broadcaster.
Yeah, she is very good. So congratulations to Tom Ackerman, the 97th most attractive person in that covers baseball or that is involved. I know this list is messed up because one of my guys, David Schuster, is on this list. He's not attractive at all. I know David. Great guy. I love him.
How come you're not on the list there, Raj?
Oh, man. Huh. Maybe this thing is... I haven't covered baseball in 10 years.
So?
Martin Kilcoyne.
What does Bobby Valentine do?
He's a broadcast. I think he's MLB Network, maybe. Martin Kilcoyne's on the list at 179.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, I love this. Somebody tell Tom that he's on this list. He probably has no idea.
I'll let him know.
Okay. So we're hopefully going to hook up with Major Garrett here in just a little bit. Something probably came up.
Something's breaking, I'm sure, in Washington. And we'll learn what he's doing probably before the show is over.
Well, I kind of hope that something didn't break because usually when it does, it's never good.
Right.
So I know that... I think within the last hour, it may have been within the last hour, that a judge has ruled that the student visa program at Harvard, you know, which has come under attack by the president, that I believe they've ruled against that now.
Right.
So that's, I don't know how that's going to play out, but doesn't it feel like, John, that courts are ruling against him a lot?
Yep.
And... it seems like instead of just accepting the court rulings, and I get the appeals process and you should go through that everybody is afforded that, right? Doesn't it say something that he is consistently losing with the courts? And it doesn't say that the courts are fixed or that the courts are compromised in some way. Doesn't it say the other thing that maybe he's just doing a lot that's not legal?
Well, it's not constitutional. The president's authority is not unlimited. It is limited. And the real interesting thing here to me is going to be whether this administration complies with the court rulings, because there's no enforcement mechanism. The court has no enforcement mechanism. And as in the case with the guy in El Salvador, who the court said the president had to, you know, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but basically had to make every effort to get the guy back.
Yeah.
And the administration's done nothing.
Oh, Garcia.
Yeah.
Abrego Garcia.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some of these rulings, how that all, you know, comes about and Harvard's money that the White House has withheld, the research grants and so forth. Now the student visa issue. I don't know that the White House is going to comply with these things. And at that point, you've got a system that's seriously broken.
Yeah, so how do you just not comply? How can you say that you're for rule of law, and then when the law doesn't rule in your favor, you say, well, never mind, the law's broken, or I'm going to do it anyway?
I don't know that the rule of law is particularly important to this administration. And in the expansion of executive power and authority seems to be priority one. And, you know, I don't think it's good for the republic. It's certainly... destabilizing to our system of government, and the voters may or may not rectify things in November of 2026. But you know, this is a real issue, and with Congress being of no effect in terms of checks and balances at the moment, the courts are, that's all that's left.
Let me ask you this question: why don't you think that matters more to people? Because it matters to at least half the country, it does matter.
Sure.
There are too many people where it doesn't matter, when before it used to matter, when there was a different president in charge. But when it's this one, it doesn't matter any longer.
Well, you got
a
couple different factors, I think. One is that a whole big chunk of people don't pay that much attention. Second thing is a whole big chunk of people don't have an appreciation or even understanding of how our government is structured. And three... a big chunk of people think Donald Trump is the single best thing to happen to this country in their lifetimes. And you put those three groups of people together, and that's a heck of a lot of people. So that's where we are.
I know we've talked about this before, but as time goes by, does your feeling change on whether or not there's a light at the end of the tunnel on this, that we come out of it somehow, that this, whatever this is, this fog, it lifts. Does that happen at some point?
I think so.
Does it take something catastrophic to happen?
It could, but I don't think so. I believe that, history is a guide. Voting behavior is a guide, and I study voting behavior. This midterm election, in all likelihood, is going to result in the Democrats at least taking the House, if not the Senate as well. And that is going to fundamentally change a lot of things in Washington, D.C. And so I think when we get to that point, and that's a year and some away. I mean, it's still a ways away. But that's going to change things. And I don't think things are going to go irreparably bad between now and then. I just don't.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. You're very smart when it comes to this stuff. So I trust your opinion on it. But I'm sorry, I have some doubts and a little bit of concern.
There's a lot of people out there that argue that the sky is falling. I mean, the sky falls once. Is this the time the sky actually falls? I don't think it is, but I can't say that with, 100% confidence either.
Well, I'd like you to be 100% confident. Then I would feel much better if you were.
Yeah.
The number is 314-436-7900. We continue our effort to raise money in conjunction with Fox 2 and the Red Cross. And as we have said a million times before, and we're going to say a million more, this effort for recovery and cleanup and rebuilding and helping those who have been affected by the storm on May 16th, those efforts are going to continue for a long time, and that help will be needed. We want you to go to KMOX.com/Red Cross if you can. If you can afford to donate at all, a donation of $10 is the minimum, and you can just donate 10. You can donate more than that if you want to. So far, St. Louis, to this particular link that we have given out, so this is just Fox 2 and KMOX, $252,000.
Wow.
So it's been great. And the people have been giving in other areas too, which is very, very important. But we're almost at $253,000
now. That's really incredible.
Yes. So KMOX.com/Red Cross. Also, we mentioned right at the top of the show that the National Guard, the Missouri National Guard, is preparing debris collection sites. Now, there is still some question about how some of this debris will be removed from the places where they are now. Mm-hmm. But there are sites that they are setting up where people can, where they can bring stuff if they've got things that they need to get rid of. So I think that if you go to the city's website, you'll be able to find all of those places there. But the Missouri Guard is in the process of doing this. And they say those sites, and there are at least three of them as of right now, will be operating for at least 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks, but it could go longer than that. These are just the debris collection sites.
You know, the governor was in town yesterday, and again, he was touring the city with Mayor Spencer. And I am really gratified to see how well those two leaders of different parties and different ideologies are working together for a common purpose here. And I wish you could, I wish it didn't take a mile wide tornado to create that. But it is gratifying to see.
It is. I hope that it's not a thing where just because the storm is fresh, and I mean, it's been, 2 weeks? Tomorrow will be 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still fresh. Maybe for some of us who weren't directly impacted by it,
right?
You tend to forget about it, or it slips to the back of your mind. And maybe it's because of the newness of it that there really seems to be a collaborative effort, and politics hasn't gotten involved yet. I hope it stays that way. But there's always that, for me, that concern that eventually politics is going to take hold one way or another. I don't know what that looks like because it could be all kinds of things, but I just hope we don't go that path.
So the politics governs in the absence of a relationship. And I, man, I learned this, the late, great Kit Bond, when he was governor, he had really good relationships with the urban mayors in St. Louis and Kansas City and was very active and supportive of their needs and their communities. And I see a lot of that in Mike Kehoe. And I think now that he's working with Kara Spencer and getting to know her and she's getting to know him, I would suspect that relationship is going to be a good one for the duration of her mayoralty and the duration of his governorship. I really do.
I hope so. Hope it continues that way. I wonder how that relationship will go, even with the state's takeover of the police department, mm-hmm. which she was not in favor of.
Right.
Now, she was also not in favor of this particular lawsuit that was filed by Alderwoman Megan Green.
Right.
My guess, or my feeling, just from listening to her speak on it, is that she just didn't. She first of all wasn't consulted on it, which I understand. You, as the mayor, I think you would like to be consulted on that. And second, it doesn't seem like all the ducks were in a row.
Yeah, it's without merit, and I think that's the bigger issue with that lawsuit. It's just there's no merit behind it, and why would you expend the money on a something that's not going to produce anything?
But I get the sentiment. I do understand with a city that was apparently trending in the right direction, according to the numbers in terms of crime, that this probably wasn't necessary by the state, but Mike Kehoe ran on it and people voted for it and he went ahead and did it.
So the thing about crime numbers, one is I don't think they all get reported. Two, raw numbers go down, but population goes down as well. So the crime rate has not appreciably improved in St. Louis. And the real problem with the police board appointed by Mayor Jones is that they were not sympathetic in the least to the police, and nor were they supportive, nor were they trying to increase the numbers of those officers. And the new board's not going to solve all the problems of crime in St. Louis, but they will have the backs of the officers, and I think that's important.
Well, here's what I want to say about it. First of all, and it's the number one argument against it for me, is that they've done it in Kansas City, and Kansas City has the exact same problems we do with crime. Not any better than us.
Right.
It's just the narrative doesn't surround them the way it surrounds this city. But Kansas City has the exact same level of violent crime as we do. It's
right.
It's not any better. That is, for me, that's number one. The second thing is, if this doesn't work, it's still going to be, the blame is still going to be placed on the mayor. The blame is still going to be placed on the city, I think. It won't go to the state, but it should. If this doesn't work out, they say the buck stops here, right? And that should be whoever's in control.
Well,
and if the state is in control of the police department and this doesn't work, they should take all the blame for it.
Well, the police board does not police the streets. The police officers do. But the police board exists to buttress the police officers on the street. And comparing St. Louis and Kansas City, Kansas City is a fundamentally different place. It's much larger in geography. It's much larger in population than is St. Louis. The St. Louis crime numbers, if you took the city and the county together, would look so much better than, what we consider St. Louis. And the reason St. Louis gets singled out nationally for the high crime rate is because we're a city of 280,000 people, whatever it is, and there's a lot of crime, as there is in every urban setting in America. But we just don't have the population to support the numbers.
That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji. When I asked the question we were talking about whether or not the fog will lift in this country, this texter asks this question or has this comment. Our standing in the world, according to the texter, has been damaged and will not recover for generations. But this person does believe the fog will lift in America. I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about the United States in world leadership when we come back. It's John Hancock and Chris Ranji on KMOX. It is the Chris and Amy show, but no Amy. John Hancock is here. Is this
rocking
sticks?
Out. Yeah.
I only know it sticks because you said it.
Yeah. This is my era. Rock and roll, baby.
I knew, what's the one really popular Styx song?
Babe.
Come Sail Away.
Come Sail Away, that's the one.
Babe was a big hit. So was Blue Collar Man. That's a rocker.
How's that one go? Oh, yeah. I know that one. Yeah. All right, cool. I'm just glad you knew it.
Yeah.
Because usually it's Scott Joplin or it's Yes.
Buddy, you got to be in my era. Yeah, and my era or before. Like, I could take I could get you through the swing era.
You didn't know Beach Boys?
I knew the Beach Boys, sure. I just didn't know Rhoda or whatever her name was.
Rhonda.
Yeah.
Rhonda.
Yeah.
I said Donna.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So let me read this text again in full.
Okay.
And this is everything that the texter said right as we were going to break.
Right.
Where it says, the fog will lift in America.
Yeah.
Our standing in the world will not recover for generations. We wasted the head start we were given on electric vehicles and green energy. We alienated our allies, placated dictators. I'm embarrassed of what we have become and how we look to the world. Now, not everybody's going to agree with that. There are going to be a lot of people who think, oh, we are much more well-respected now in the last few months than we were before. I don't agree with that,
right,
personally. But when you hear everything that came out of that text,
mm-hmm. I can't argue with a single part of it. And he's right. For the last 80 years, it didn't matter if you had a Democrat president who was in charge of Congress, Republican president, didn't matter. We had become the keeper of the world order. And we had supported our allies, we had opposed authoritarian regimes, and we had been more or less consistent in that effort. America was on scene whenever disaster struck. America was on scene to feed starving communities. America was on the scene to prevent the outbreak of war, liberating countries, Grenada, Kuwait. And everybody had the reasonable understanding that they could rely on that leadership. Well, that's gone now. And now what the president and his ideology have brought is the idea that, why are we doing all this stuff? Why are we paying all that money? Why are we sending all that stuff overseas? We ought to take care of our country. And why are we involved in European wars? And that is a populist position. It's always existed in the country, but it's governing the country now. And a lot of people agree with that. I think it's wrong, and I think it's not just problematic. I think it's dangerous for the world and for us to take that position and cede our leadership in the world, because that vacuum's going to be filled, and it's probably going to be filled by China.
I don't think people... some people do, but I don't think enough people understand the idea of soft power.
No.
That this country has had everywhere in the world, but with the exception of a few countries like China and Russia or whatever,
sure.
but for a long time, and there is a ton of value in soft power, which means you have positive public sentiment elsewhere.
Yep.
Because that can help you a lot down the road.
And the backbone of American foreign policy has been, for a long time, I mean, long time, going back to Monroe, that we need to be friends with our neighbors to the south and to the north.
Yeah, we have somebody on YouTube, Colonel Ripper, who texts in a lot or writes in a lot. I don't think our standing is that damaged. It was damaged under comatose Joe. I disagree with you, buddy. I do not think
NATO,
that the world had
NATO
a negative
expanded in the Biden administration.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you on that. That's John Hancock. I'm Chris Ranji on KMOX. Bernie Miklas will join us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.